This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
More and more, we are going to see big-time college football taking over our Saturdays. And I suppose there's an element of Thursdays and Fridays there as well. But you know what happens when you go up against the NFL on a Thursday. The NBA is actually navigating that a little bit itself. And so the NFL is back. Football is back. We've got 1 week in the books, and we're kind of sorting through what it is that we saw. We had two games on Monday Night Football, and speaking of back, Big Ben is back, so we'll get to that here momentarily. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love to hear from you. You're voting for Monday MVP, just a few minutes left there. You're also looking at our Touchdown Tuesday, and we'll give you those candidates as we head through this final hour of the show. They're fresh in your mind, of course. And what surprised you? So a lot of you are weighing in. And some of the overreactions from week one are understandable. Others of you, you're already off the deep end. And I'm trying not to laugh at you. I'm definitely laughing near you as I read your posts on Twitter and Facebook. So A-Law Radio or After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Maybe on this Tuesday morning, if I tell you there was a giant rat just outside the doors to our building, it will get you out of bed more quickly. Ew. So many of you also work in cities and live in cities. It's a definite problem wherever you have a lot of people and they're garbage that gets discarded. But I tell you, this is the closest I've ever come to a giant rat. Holy cannoli. Maybe that's what he was eating. No, it was a pizza box. Someone had just chucked a pizza box on the street. Don't ask me why. And as I'm walking, it's dark, right? It's about 11:30 Eastern time. And I'm walking toward the door, and maybe about 10 yards from our door to the building, there's this pizza box. And I see movement. And then I see this large rat scrambling out of the box underneath a construction barrier. I almost screamed. I did do a bah! and started running toward the door, and it gave me the willies. So if you need that to wake you up, just be happy that you are sleeping in your own comfy beds, or that you're right now in your cars and you're driving. Maybe you're in a clean workspace. Sometimes being in a big city does not have its benefits or its perks. I've seen lots of rats in New York City. I'm not telling you I haven't, but usually I'm in my car and I'm driving, or this is what happens every now and then. I haven't used mass transit in a while, but you'll see them across the platform in the subways, or you'll see them around a train station, but they're on the other side of the tracks from you. I have never been that close to the thing was as big as a rabbit. Like a big rabbit, like a full-grown rabbit. I can't. So I left when I left the situation quickly and stifled my screams. I thought, oh no, he's going to be waiting for me when I walk out in the morning. What are the chances that same rat is just lurking, lying in wait for me to come back? Oh no, I can't leave. That's it. I'm here forever. I'm never leaving work again. Someone's gonna have to deliver food. Someone's gonna have to bring my dog to me. I'm never leaving again. Okay?
It's a deal.
I'm just gonna take up residence in here, in the studio. It's not like many other people are using it. They'll come to clean it once every couple of weeks. Oh no, I'm sure they clean it every 10 minutes. Yes, that's the new rules with COVID. But I can't. What if he's out there? Can you help me?
You think you're being stalked by a giant rat?
What if I spray him with my pepper spray?
That would probably work. Maybe.
I do carry mace. Actually, I'm not sure. Is it mace or is it the same thing, mace and pepper spray? They're not quite the same thing, right?
It's the same stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly which one I have. I think it's pepper spray, actually. And so I suppose I could spray him with that. I'm sure it's a male rat, too. I don't know why. I guess it could be a female, but no. This thing was huge.
I'm sure it's a dude.
It's a dude who's stalking me, per the usual. Oh, he was ugly, too. Okay, now that that's out of my system, should we talk about football? Whew, because I just lost my good vibes. I lost my good juju. Well, I mean, juju. The other kind of juju. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of juju, you know who was really happy that Ben Roethlisberger was back? Uh-huh. You guessed it.
One in the play clock. Roethlisberger back. Here come the Giants. Roethlisberger floats for Juju Smith-Schuster. Touchdown, Steelers. A touch pass and a beauty by Roethlisberger. And Juju Smith-Schuster has the touchdown for the Steelers. Two receivers to each side. Also the tight end, Eric Ebron, is to the right side of the formation. On an empty set, Roethlisberger back. Throws underneath. Complete. This is James Washington. Leaps and James Washington powers into the end zone. Wow. Touchdown, wow. Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger back to pass. Looking. Wow. And throws, and it is complete touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster on a 3rd and 4, and his third touchdown pass for Ben Roethlisberger. Juju having fun in the end zone. And by the way, with that touchdown pass, Ben Roethlisberger tying Eli Manning for 8th all-time with touchdown passes in NFL history, and doing it in Eli Manning's old stomping grounds.
366. That's how many career touchdown passes Ben Roethlisberger has. And as you hear on the Steelers radio network, he ties Eli Manning at MetLife. But there are a bunch of active quarterbacks that are still ahead of him on the list. So topping the list is, of course, one, Drew Brees. Tom Brady is there as well at number 2. Manning, the other Manning, Favre and Marino all retired. Rivers is still throwing touchdown passes and interceptions. And then Aaron Rodgers, obviously, is there on the list, too. And in fact, he and Ben Roethlisberger are pretty close. They could have that kind of back and forth race the same as what we've seen with Brees and Brady. And so we've got some elder statesmen. It's great to see Ben Roethlisberger back. I mentioned this earlier, but for sure the NFL is being overcome now by young stud quarterbacks. And that's how it should be. We've had this influx of superstars at the position. And some of them are thrown into the fire before they should be. Others of them just come in ready-made. They're that good. And we're sure to have another one when Trevor Lawrence, maybe Josh Fields, when he gets into the NFL as well. I mean, we've seen young QBs grab these starting spots, and they're not letting go anytime soon. But we need these elder statesmen. We need the old dudes. We need the Brees and the Brady and the Ben and the Rodgers and the Rivers and even the Russell. We need those guys because they're the ones that have dirt on their uniform, so to speak. They've got the miles. They've got the scars to prove that they have survived this league for as long as they have. They've also got the history, and they've got the wisdom, the experience, and they've got to make sure the game is in good shape before they move on. And I do appreciate this group. I mean, it's a really incredible group of older quarterbacks, because it's made it easier for me as we watch some of the others retire. So Peyton and Brett Favre and Eli Manning, of course. And we've seen some of these guys depart and ride off into the sunset. And I think it's important that we have this bridge with some of these older guys. That, not that I expected them to be playing into their 40s, but hey, if you got it, you should flaunt it, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Ben Roethlisberger back on the field did admit to some nerves, but he goes 21 of 32, 229 yards, 3 touchdown passes, 2 of those for Juju. And he showed flashes of the zip, of the strength, of the ability to throw off the back foot. I don't think his arm is an issue at all. He looked like he had plenty of the strength in his passes, but he also showed the ability to loft the ball and showed some of that touch and that feel, which is so important when you're talking about the short game. Mixing my sports here, but it's important in golf to have the touch and feel for your short game. And you don't always need to fire a bullet at your receiver. Sometimes it's more about loft. It's more about height. It's more about the angle at which that ball drops down. What did I call it earlier when I was being a weirdo? A softy lofty? A lofty softy, something like that. So the first pass that he threw to Juju, you couldn't zip it right through the middle because there's all kinds of big people standing between you and Juju. But he finds him perfectly with this lofted ball into the end zone. So I was glad to see Ben back. And he said he never considered retirement despite missing a year with the elbow injury.
I told the guys before the game, it's not about me individually. The reason I came back is for these guys, for this team. It's a special group of football players and men. And so I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
It's not just about adding Ben back into the offense with the weapons that they've got. It's also about the defense that they rebuilt a year ago when people were laughing at Mike Tomlin for trading away draft picks to get Minkah Fitzpatrick working on his defense when, of course, their season was lost in week 2 with Ben Roethlisberger's injury. But, man, the defense looked good. A couple of interceptions off Daniel Jones, though a couple of those he made easy for them. But actually, T.J. Watt's interception was really impressive, just kind of jumped up with that big body and engulfed the football. And then there was one later. I cannot get over this. This still blows me away. A 19-play drive for the Giants. And at the end of it, there's pressure from Bud Dupree, and Daniel Jones decides to throw the ball up in the air anyway, and Dupree makes contact, and either the ball or his hand, I can't remember exactly, but affects the flight of the ball. And so it's this wounded duck that goes up in the air and just is easily intercepted into a crowd of Steelers, I might add. It's not like there was one guy there on the end. Anyway, so the defense looked good. Couple of interceptions off of Daniel Jones, 3 sacks, another 8 quarterback hits. And here's the part that really stands out. And they focused on this because Mike Tomlin spoke about it after the game. They wanted to contain the running of Saquon Barkley. So they allowed him to catch some passes. And of course, they gave up more in the passing game, but they were willing to do that because they wanted to be sure that Saquon Barkley didn't run wild or really run at all. And so he ended up with 15 carries for 6 yards.
We thought that guy was a catalyst for whatever that they were going to do offensively. We put our secondary in harm's way some in an effort to do so. But it's a team game. They embraced that challenge. We needed to stack the line of scrimmage. We need to bring people like Mike Hilton and so forth, and we did. We did what we thought was necessary to minimize his impact on the game.
No one says it like Mike Tomlin. No one says we put our secondary in harm's way because we felt it was necessary to do so. Nobody says that. But I can't get enough of Mike Tomlin's post-game press conferences. He is amazing. I love it. So Mike Tomlin and the Steelers start out with a victory. The Giants, and Joe Judge is their new head coach. They are back to the drawing board. And there were some good stretches, but they're still a team that's in rebuilding mode. It was good to see Darius Slayton with a couple of touchdown catches. And, 19 plays. I mean, you would think you'd at least come away with a field goal. I don't think I've ever seen that in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Well, if you thought Daniel Jones had a rough game, it wasn't all bad for Daniel Jones. It was rough for one Steven Gostkowski. He was the highlight for the Titans, which is good. It offered him some redemption at the end, but he was also the low light. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times for one Steven Gostkowski, Titans' brand new kicker.
There's not much wind. The bright orange telltales on the top of the goalposts are limp. 44-yard try for the lead. The ball was blocked. The kick was blocked. Great job inside by the Denver Broncos.
He's missed from 47. He's had one blocked from 44. He's missed from 42. He's missed an extra point. Snap. Set. Kick. Good! Redemption for Gostkowski with 17 seconds to go.
Mike Keith sums it up perfectly. Here is Gostkowski, this hotshot kicker who comes in from the Patriots, right, where he's so decorated. He's got individual accolades. He's got hardware. In the first half, he misses a pair of field goals, including the one that was blocked late in the second quarter. You heard that one with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. The flags, they were limp. Then he misses a field goal and an extra point in the third quarter. He missed four kicks. And you could tell that Mike Vrabel was desperate to get a touchdown at the end of the game on their final drive so that he did not have to trot his kicker back out there. And yet Gostkowski came through the game winner with Mike Keith on the Titans radio network.
I'm just disappointed in myself that I couldn't bounce back quicker, and that's usually something that I pride myself on, is onto the next kick, onto the next one, and not, you know, letting one kick turn into two, and obviously just snowball from there. And it's, I gotta just hold my head high and move on to the next one.
We all have a job to do, and I'm very confident that that'll get corrected. But again, like I said earlier, it's not all one guy. Whether there's some push or the snap, we got to make them. I mean, that whole operation, that was one of the keys to the game, where it was the field goal block unit. And fortunately for us, that didn't cost us.
Mike Vrabel talking about his kicker. We all have a job to do. I thought he was going to pump out the do your job. He didn't. He was a little more diplomatic than that. And Steven Gostkowski beforehand, there were some great things for the Titans. They just couldn't get into the end zone and then ended up without the points because of the missed kicks. But Derrick Henry, 116 yards. I feel as though they might use him until his legs fall off. Now, he's pretty durable. They didn't really ride him hard until late in the season last year, but 31 carries in week one. Corey Davis looked good, over 100 yards receiving. And then for the Broncos, there's some good stretches for Drew Lock. Melvin Gordon also with his first touchdown as a member of the Denver Broncos. And, if you're an Alabama fan, Jerry Jeudy making his debut with four catches for Denver as well. So that was the second half of Monday Night Football, the last game, the very last game of week number one. And we've been going through some of the storylines that kind of surprised us and caught us off guard. I really do think the Cleveland Browns are punking us. I've just decided that's what's going on here.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP. I
need a hero. Snap, a route going deep down the right sidelines. MVS has it to the end zone for the touchdown. Word. Oh, what a play. He took it away from Cameron Danzler. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 45-yard touchdown reception.
Felt good about the plan. We had some good drives in the first half. Didn't cash in early and then kind of got into a really nice rhythm. Anytime you punt one time, it's going to be a good day, especially if you don't turn the ball over. And I thought we, executed really well.
When you love yourself, you can love others. The very Zen Aaron Rodgers. But you're full of crap, A-Rod, if you think anybody believes that the Packers are flying under the radar. That is not happening as long as you are the quarterback and as long as you're speaking about self-love. You have to love yourself. If you take the time, then you can better love others. I mean, it's not bad advice. It's just, funny coming from a guy who not that long ago was telling us how he was old and grouchy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Aaron Rodgers, your choice for Monday MVP. Week one, baby. Wayne Larrivee with the call of one of A-Rod's four touchdown passes. First time in his career he's ever thrown four touchdown passes in the season opener. He was bullying those young Vikings cornerbacks. Let's see. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of fun surprises that you're sharing. Also on our Facebook page, I have found the funniest one. This is Ian on our Facebook page. What surprises him the most about week one? Kansas City is still as scary as last year. And wait for it. Tom Brady really is a system quarterback. I needed that after the big fat rat. Yeah, I needed something to make me laugh and forget about the big old rat. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's talk to David, who's in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Just FYI, rats have been closer to you than that one. You just didn't know it.
Well, as long as I don't have to see them, I'm okay with it. This one, I was on foot. I wasn't in a car. I wasn't on the other side of the train platform. The rat was right there, and I had to walk past the thing to get to the door. No, that can't happen. I'm going to have to quit my job. I don't know what's going to happen.
You did not boldly walk up to him and give him what for, huh?
I did not. I screamed, and he ran.
Okay. Well, that's... Well, both of you survived the encounter, so I guess that's okay.
Barely.
My surprises were I was really surprised that Cleveland didn't put up more of a fight against Baltimore. I figured they'd lose, but, you know, they got pounded into mush, and they generated pretty much nothing on offense, so that was very surprising.
I was surprised, too. I swear I think Cleveland's punking us. Either that or it's deja vu, but I think they're just setting us up. What in the world? Come on now. I would agree with you about the offense, but also the defense. And I get it. It's Lamar Jackson. It's the Ravens. But come on. It's a division game. And you lose by 32. What? Are you kidding me? No. This is not how you need to start out. Gut punch or no, I was surprised by Cleveland as well.
The San Francisco-Arizona game, I was really surprised. I haven't really been paying too much attention to the Cardinals because – frankly, for many years, they haven't merited any attention.
Hopkins.
Yeah. And, well, also, they kept San Francisco's offense relatively under control, which really surprised me.
Oh, their defense has been good for a while, actually. That's been their saving grace while they're trying to figure out which of the 12 starting quarterbacks they've gone with, are they going to stick with. But, yeah, that defense is tough and physical. And it's more of a carryover, too. It's actually not so much a Cliff Kingsbury thing. It's from the previous era. But I would agree with you that they are a team that was probably going to be a dark horse until this past weekend.
Yeah, well, as an Atlanta Falcons fan, it's kind of a mixed emotions following San Francisco and our previous offensive coordinator being their head coach, and they're having such fabulous success over there.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hold back on Russell Wilson as MVP of the week because I was really concerned with Atlanta's pass defense going into the game, and they did not have a single pass defense on credited to any of the defensive backs, and I'm afraid that my concerns have been well warranted. And I think you're going to see some really successful quarterbacking by opposing quarterbacks against Atlanta. The front four is actually better, but when you're weak at corner in this league, you're going to see some serious problems throughout this schedule, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case. And even in that own division, I mean, think about the quarterbacks that you're going to face in Breeze and Brady. I know Brady and the offense didn't look good for the Bucs this past weekend, but that's not going to be the case all season. It can be a little scary if your defense, your secondary specifically, is susceptible. So I'd agree with you there. Now, the offense maybe can do what it did last year, which was put up huge numbers and win a few games. But definitely it's going to be dicey if they don't shore up a little bit in the secondary.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're going to have a lot of entertaining Atlanta Falcon games. It's just a matter of, are we going to be able to push past that 7-9, 8-8 barrier with such a defensive liability? And like you said, even Teddy Bridgewater is really no slouch. He doesn't have a whole lot to work with in Carolina. But, the three divisional quarterbacks, there's no taking a week off going against those guys. And Atlanta's got a pretty tough schedule outside the division this year as well, especially starting the season. Ouch.
Mm. Can I introduce you to Christian McCaffrey or no?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is he's a great fantasy player, but
he's a great everything. He's a great everything.
Do you have anybody else to use? That's the problem. He's going to get his numbers.
Robbie Anderson had a huge weekend.
Ah, I didn't notice that. That's maybe they will have somebody else to do things, because I figure Bridgewater's an underrated quarterback. They'll take their lumps more as a matter of everybody else is better, not that they're so terrible.
It's going to be interesting to see.
It's going to be some pretty exciting NFC South games, just about everybody, as long as the quarterbacks stay healthy.
All right, David. It's good to talk to you in Atlanta. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Bye-bye.
855-212-4227. I like how the quick strike ability there, like just a quick hang up. Bye-bye. Don't get all long and wax poetic and you hang up. No, you hang up because I will hang up. Okay, we're going to get to more of your calls. Also, we've got two NBA games coming up as a doubleheader in Orlando. I haven't thought about Orlando in a while. But there's a game 7 on Tuesday night and the start of the Eastern Conference Finals. Also, we want you to vote for Touchdown Tuesday, so get to that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Stastny does not have a stick. It's Gurionov on the right wing side. Behind the net, Corey Perry spreads it out wide left. Ropey hits up high for Klingberg. Fake the shot. One time, Gurionov! He scores! Denis Gurionov! The Stars win game 5! They win the series! They win the West! And the Dallas Stars are headed to the Stanley Cup Final!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to the Stars. I love fresh blood in sports. First Stanley Cup final for Dallas in 20 years. So not since 2000 have the Stars made it to the final two in the NHL playoff bracket. And here they are knocking off the big, bad Vegas Golden Knights. And listen to this. Here's how the West was won. Dallas outscored the Knights in their 5 games 9-8. There's a lot of bitterness with the Knights, including Riley Smith, who said that they were the better team. They played better 90% of the series, but they didn't score. It was like there was a cover on the net. And yet the Stars came up with gut check moment after gut check goal in overtime, in the late stages. They performed better under pressure, and they rose to the occasion while the Golden Knights did not. So you want to talk about bitter and frustrated and upset, a team that was not only the top seed in the West, but was also built to win now. And here are the Stars who come in and steal their thunder. So congratulations to Dallas. And now the Stars are waiting, and they've got some veterans on their team too. So I look forward to seeing what they can do on the sports grandest stage, but they are waiting for the winner of the Lightning and the Islanders, which is to a 3-1 set right now with Tampa Bay in front. So I guess, you know, if Tom Brady's a system quarterback and a flop with the Buccaneers, you always have the Lightning. So we're almost down to the, that was a joke, by the way. Don't at me. We're almost down to the final two in the NHL, and we're getting close to the final four in the NBA. We've got a couple of big games coming up on Tuesday evening in Orlando, so we'll talk about those momentarily. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Lots of you sending me your tweets and your Facebook posts about what surprised you the first week of the NFL season. And so I'll get to some of those here coming up. And then 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Let's talk to Colin, who's in Green Bay. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much.
Good. I'm excited for the Packers, man. Rodgers looked good. Yes, on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a nerd alert about the New Orleans-Green Bay game, if you want to hear it.
When is that one?
2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
In New Orleans. Packers haven't won in New Orleans besides the Super Bowl 31 since 1995.
So do you think this
and
is the year?
I'm nervous about that game. Yes, the year 1995 is the last time the Packers won against the Saints in New Orleans.
No, do you think 2020 is the year they break the streak?
I'm hoping so. But Packers got a lot of tough road games this year, so we need to get every win we can.
Of course. Although it's a little bit different, isn't it, when you're on the road and there aren't any crazy, raucous fans? It does feel different. And even Aaron Rodgers was saying that they, you know, face so many harsh environments in Minneapolis. Of course, other of their division opponents, too. Can you imagine Soldier Field without any fans there? It's an eerie environment. And so I wonder what that does to diminish the home field advantage.
Well, a lot of the road teams won this week, so you might be on to something there.
Was it nine road teams?
I think eight or nine. I don't know for sure. But I had Rodgers on the bench this week. I thought he was going to have a good game, and I forgot to switch it. So,
who was your starting QB?
Breeze.
Oh, actually, it's not. I mean, the Saints won, but he was on my bench, actually. He didn't have great numbers.
No, he didn't. But I still won that match.
That's amazing. I'm very proud of you.
Okay, so thank you, Amy. Have a good one.
Way to go, Colin. Have a great Tuesday. He brings up Aaron Rodgers, and I'll just say it again. The Packers are not flying under the radar as long as A-Rod is their quarterback. And our player of the week, we just unveiled him as your Monday MVP. It's brought to you by Grainger, so let's take a closer look at Aaron's numbers before we put this one to bed. 32 of 44, four touchdown passes for the first time in a season opener in his entire career. 364 yards, but how about this? The team racked up 522 total yards against defense for the Vikings that, while it was missing pieces, banged up, certainly is supposed to be better than that. This is an embarrassment to Mike Zimmer. Devontae Adams, he's still a monster in 2020. He was on the receiving end of a lot of those passes from A-Rod. 14 catches, 156 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. And it was kind of fun to see these two go back and forth in the fourth quarter. They put up a lot of points, the Vikings and Packers, in the fourth quarter. But here's the number that stands out to me. And it's funny because you wouldn't think of the Packers as a ball control offense. You wouldn't. They've got guys who can run the ball. But generally, when Rodgers can make the plays that he does and extend plays, but also get rid of it so quickly and move the ball downfield in chunks, you wouldn't think that they would dominate time of possession. But they didn't even allow the Vikings to have the ball for 19 minutes. So they had the ball for more than 41 minutes, not even 19 minutes for the Vikings. That stat was the one that I thought was the most eye-popping, despite the gaudy numbers from Aaron Rodgers. Our player of the week, sponsored by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. So thanks for voting for Monday MVP. And then coming up, of course, we'll do the touchdown. Coming up as in our next show, we'll reveal your choice for Touchdown Tuesday. We've got the third of Mitch Trubisky's fourth quarter touchdown passes. It was a dart to Anthony Miller outside edge of the end zone. It was a great catch as well. Gardner Minshew to Keelan Cole, that was his third touchdown pass as the Jaguars came back against the Colts. Joe Burrow's first touchdown as an NFL QB. It was a QB draw, actually, for 23 yards, and that might have been the highlight of the game for the Bengals. And then Big Ben tying Eli Manning on the all-time touchdown list. He has 366. That's the number that sticks in my brain. 366 now, and they're tied for eighth on the list. And so you've got four candidates, and we'll let you hear those various highlights again on our hump show before you have to make your decision. But we always appreciate you voting on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. So basketball is going to try to worm its way back into the center ring of the circus coming up on Tuesday. You've got a doubleheader, the start of the Eastern Conference Finals between Miami and Boston, and then Denver and L.A. in their game seven. Both of these series are intriguing. The fact that it's the 3 and 4 seeds in the Eastern Conference who've survived, not that if you look at Boston and Miami individually, you don't think they're talented teams. That's not what we're saying. But Toronto and Milwaukee were so good all year long. Toronto, of course, had the benefit of having won the championship a year ago, and once you've got the throne, it's really difficult to take possession of it if you're a challenging team. But Miami's so athletic, and they're really balanced and obviously extremely well coached. And they do actually have some championship experience of their own, which I think is critical. And it was interesting to hear what Eric Spoelstra had to say as well about guys like Andre Iguodala, who, of course, won multiple championships with the Warriors, and then Jay Crowder, who's part of the Boston squad in the past. I mean, these are guys who really not only provide some wisdom and experience, but can speak to some of the younger guys in the Heat locker room.
They've been in playoff situations before. They're different players. You know, Jay is a little bit more the rugged, physical I guess, prototypical Miami Heat player. Andre just has so much, you know, world-class finals experience.
Those two guys definitely bring an edge. The two of them on the court together. I like how Eric Spoelstra calls Crowder rugged, but they definitely are two guys that expect you to show up and to give it everything, but also they bring that intensity too, recognizing what it takes. Now, as for the Celtics, they will not have Gordon Hayward. He's not available yet to start this Eastern Conference Finals, and Brad Stevens certainly recognizes the challenges the Heat present with or without your full complement of players.
So many different ways they can hurt you. Miami can beat you in isolation. They're one of the best cutting teams I've seen. Obviously great from behind the three-point line. Like you said, there's got a number of guys that can go for 25 or 30 in a given game.
I did say that. Well, I mean, I didn't really say that, but I did make reference to the fact that they're very balanced. Brad Stevens with his mask on doing a Zoom call. I can hear it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. And so you've got that game first up, 6:40 Orlando time, also 6:40 p.m. Boston and Miami time. And then that's followed by Game 7 between the Nuggets and the Clippers. And I love that they've gotten to this point. I think it is a surprise, definitely not what the Clippers wanted. All the Clippers need to stop thinking about the Lakers waiting for them in the Western Conference Finals, because Denver is no slouch and they get off the mat over and over and over again. But Doc Rivers actually points to internal problems, not so much the Nuggets.
The foul trouble by our guards, they have been very hurtful in this series, not just the last two games. We got to keep our guards on the floor because when we don't, we got to go to lineups defensively that are not desirable.
He points to the foul trouble that they've gotten into. And he's right. It doesn't matter how good your roster is. If your best guys are sitting on the sidelines, well, then you're in dire straits. But you know what? They have Kawhi Leonard. This is Kawhi Leonard's time to shine. Kawhi not.
Obviously, nobody wants to go home, but just got to go out there, play a game, and
so excited
with the results as long as you're
fired up.
You know, playing hard and attention to detail, and just make sure you have fun and relax. That's all we could do.
The fake fans bring more enthusiasm than does one Kawhi Leonard, but when the lights are on, that's what matters. Meanwhile, we get to see Jamal Murray in yet another one of these prime time pressure pack situations.
Now, last year, we always said, you know, we have playoff experience underneath our belt, and we had two game sevens, and now this year we have the same two game sevens with even greater comeback. So, you know, the guys that we have, the chemistry that we have, and in the couple of years that we've had of experiencing close games and meaningful games, we've come together and really played well.
We still have the same goals. Like, we've never lost sight of that. 4 months during the hiatus, coming back into the bubble, trying to get healthy. We've always felt that we were good enough. No one else does, but we don't care about it. We don't listen to the noise.
That's good. You shouldn't. I make a lot of noise, but just ignore me. Mike Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets. I love that chip on his shoulder too. No one else does. No one else thinks that we have the goods to be here. I just want to see Jamal Murray play basketball as long as possible, because he is in some kind of rhythm and groove, and it's been amazing to see him, again, step up, rise to the occasion. He's really been the definition of clutch, and here they are in yet another Game 7. Meanwhile, the Lakers are lounging. They're just sitting back, maxing, relaxing. I should never try to be cool ever. They're just sitting back and waiting, and that Western Conference Finals won't start until Friday. And the Lakers are just going to hang out and enjoy the fishing in Orlando. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so the surprises from week one in the NFL. I like this from my friend Rhonda in Cleveland. Hi, Amy. I appreciate the fact that she's trying to temper her disappointment. I won't overreact, but my Browns are still horrible. She's a diehard Cleveland fan. I've been talking to Rhonda on social media going back now 4 or 5 years, and huge Cleveland Cavaliers fan. In fact, her avatar is a picture with the trophy from 2016. She says they have to improve in every area or this will be a long season. Rhonda, I think they're punking us. I think this is a prank, and they're just setting us up to believe they're going to be terrible again. So Hashtag go Browns. I'm with you. Believeland. I like this tweet from Pat. After losing interest in sports, I was surprised I watched football this weekend and enjoyed the games. It was nice to finally turn my new 65-inch TV on and having football on and watching with my wife, excuse me. That's cool. I like that. Because there was a part of me that wondered whether or not I was going to appreciate and enjoy sports the same when they returned, because they were going to look so different. And honestly, having football back this past weekend, it was even better than I expected. And I know, I get it, they're fake fans and they're crowd noise and sometimes it's over the top and it's annoying, and they're these aerial views where there's no fans, they can be jarring. But yet the football itself was great. Exactly what I could have expected and then some. So I'm glad that there were some prizes. I'm glad that we got through week one unscathed. Talk to you tonight for Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.